Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in our Psalms and New Testament word today. Thanking God for just another day. You know, so many times we forget to just tell God, thank you. We forget to tell God we appreciate the ability to wake up, because somebody did not wake up this morning. Somebody was laid to rest on yesterday. And when we call it laying to rest, we realize that they're sleeping, waiting on the dead in Christ to rise. We have to wake up every morning and not stay asleep. But when you stay asleep, you're with the Lord. So, Father God in heaven, I thank you for waking me up this morning to do your will, to do it your way, to walk in your light. Father God, you know my assignment today. And I ask you, Lord God, to remove any distraction, any procrastination, anything not like you from my path today, God. That all will be well, God. All will be well as we walk in light and not in darkness. Father God, I thank you for the latter rain. I know the farmers needed it. I know many are without power, God, and I ask you to restore their lights, God. Restore their power, God. Restore them in every way, God. You know, in some homes, food was lost. Has to be thrown away. Trees through houses, windows broken. Lord God, you know everything that's going on. And all I can say is restoration. Please restore better than what's taken. Lord, you know I got a ginormous tree that's torn in half. And I know, Lord God, that you got that even under control. So, Father God, I look up, giving you honor, giving you glory, and giving you praise, asking you, Lord God, to restore that I need of help and may not be able to afford it, God. I ask you restoration. I ask you, Lord God, to lead and guide and cover each and every one of us, God, in the way that we should go. We will not depart from you, God. And as I put this word on your altar, God, I ask you to increase as I decrease, Lord God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing and trusting in you, Lord God, and thanking you for another day. Amen. This morning we'll start also in a prayer. I loved the word for yesterday, so I'm going to go with that word for today. And it says, deleting criticism. And it says, do not let any wholesome talk come out of your mouth. Unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. But only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Ephesians 4:29, NIV. Wonderful counselor, your wisdom offers all the building blocks needed for life. You offer it freely to all who seek out your advice. Where I've been lax with my words, help me find the self-control I need to keep the words of my mouth life-giving. Your word says there is the power of life and death, but actually the word of God says the power of death and life in the tongue. Somehow, though, I take other parts of your word seriously. I consistently or conveniently skim past it. of my heart. I want my words to be a reflection of the love inside my heart, not full of frustrations and negativity. Give me revelations of the power of the words I choose, that I would begin to weigh them wisely, where criticism turns into cutting someone down. It can never be for their benefit or my own. May my mouth become a pure reflection of a pure heart that loves you. And the question as we start our lesson today, how often do you spend your time criticizing people? We're talking about them. And I had to stop and think about that. And I had to say, ouch, because I have found myself critical of some person. You know, instead of lifting up, I've torn down. And I had to stop and reflect and say, forgive me, Lord, to really be careful, especially in the society we are living in, where the spirit of offense is so high, where everyone's angry about something. I was flipping through news feeds this morning, getting my distractions over early so they don't distract after. And what broke me was looking to see people having fun in Baltimore, house, block party, and in the block party, here comes somebody again. Negativity. Shooting up the block party. Two people are dead today because somebody chose to use a gun. 28 people injured. And I believe it said 3 critically. And the question becomes, why? Why do we have to guns to talk for us? And people die. Because I don't like the way you look. I don't like your privilege. I don't like the color of your skin. I don't like the way that you talk. I don't like where you live. I don't. It's all these I don't. I don't like where you worship or how you worship. Go and shoot up your synagogue. I'm going to go and kill 9 people in Bible study. Why? And none of these people that do these horrific crimes, some kill themselves. Others are treated like heroes. It's tragic. The violence from this nation is rolling in to other nations. France recently, over the weekend, had a conflict where, again, someone is being mistreated because of the color of their skin, and it caused others to go up in arms. Fires burning, riots happening in France. Same situation. Think you were in America. We America, we world, need to pray and ask God to forgive us for the sins of our forefathers and their iniquities being visited upon these days, what this system is. Father God, we ask forgiveness. Help us to speak life, to be hope, and not harm. To have faith and be faithful. To leave unforgiveness at the door and kick it back to the pit of hell and winter time. We have to leave we have to lean on you. Father God, again, thank you again for this day. As I see the sun shining, when I first started this lesson, it was cloudy and gloomy outside, and now the sun is coming in and coming out. And I thank God for the beautiful and marvelous light. Let's get into our word this morning, family. And the word for today is coming out of the 78th Psalm, starting at verse 40. Our Proverbs is Proverbs in the 20th chapter, verses starting at verse 3. And our Acts is coming out of Acts chapter 9, starting at verse 22. And we are going to start in our psalm this morning in the 78th Psalm. Starts with this, 40th verse, how often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Getting where we came with our word for this morning from our prayer, speeches, and things that we do. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They did not remember his power. The day when he redeemed them from the enemy, when he worked the signs in Egypt and his wonders in the field of Zoan, turned their rivers into blood and their streams that they could not drink. He sent swarms of flies among them which devoured them and frogs destroyed them. He also gave their crops to the caterpillar and their labor to the locust. He destroyed their vines with hail and their sycamore trees with bark. He also gave up their cattle to the hail and their flocks to fiery lightning. He cast on them the fierceness of his anger, wrath, indignation, and trouble by sending angels of destruction among them. He made a path for his anger. He did not spare their soul from death, but gave their life over to the plague and destroyed all the firstborn in Egypt, the first of their strength in the tents of Ham. But he made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely so that they did not fear, but the sea overwhelmed their enemies, and he brought them to his holy border. This mountain which his right hand had acquired. He also drove out the nations before them, allotted them an inheritance by survey, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Yet they tested and provoked the Most High God and did not keep his testimony, but turned back and acted unfaithfully like their father. They were turned aside like a deceitful bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and moved him to jealousy with their carved images. God heard this. He was furious and greatly abhorred Israel so that he forsook the tabernacle of Shiloh, the tent he had placed among men, and delivered his strength into captivity and his glory into the enemy's hand. He also gave his people over to the sword and was furious with his inheritance. The fire consumed their young men, and their maidens were not given in marriage. Their priests fell by the sword, and their widows made no lamentation. Then the Lord awoke as from sleep, like a mighty man who shouts because of wine, and he beat back his enemies. He put them to that perpetual reproach. Wow, don't mess with his people. Moreover, he rejected the tent of Joseph and did not choose the tribe of Ephraim, but chose the tribe of Judah, Mount Zion, which he loved. He built his sanctuary like the heights, like the earth which he has established forever. He also chose David, his servant, and took him from the sheepfold. But following the youth that had young, he brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. So he shepherded them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand. And I have just read the 78th Psalm, starting at verse 44 through verse 72. And I have a few life lessons of what the Bible says for our word in Psalms. And the first is what the Bible says about no fear, because God is here. Come on now. No fear. I like that. That's a good title for our sermon. No fear, because God is here. And Dr. Stanley tells us it is a beautiful statement of God's leadership. He made his own people go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. He led them on safely so that they did not fear. The demoralized, slavery-worn Israelites needed the strong, gentle leadership of the Good Shepherd. And I can say that because my ancestors in this nation were also slaves. You know, many want to attribute the freedom of the slaves of this nation as coming from Abraham Lincoln, as coming from the Union Army, as coming from everyone but who? And it was the Good Shepherd. It was God who put in the hearts of those who had power to free his people. So I understand this word. The demoralized, slavery-worn Israelites needed the strong, gentle leadership of the Good Shepherd. We, the demoralized, slavery-worn people of African descent, understand what they're talking about. Understand that it takes centuries to get back in order. We've got to focus on God and know that we cannot walk in fear. We must walk in faith. But the Lord God is with us. So he not only cared for their needs and protected them from their enemies, but he gave them a visible reminder of his powerful presence with them. Exodus 13:21 tells us, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. Though God may not be leading you in the same way he did the Israelites, there's an important principle here that can keep you from becoming discouraged. God is guiding you, showing you the way you should go, and as long as you maintain your focus on him, you'll have no reason to fear. Unfortunately, our human tendency is to take our eyes off God and become overwhelmed by the perils that encircle us. Ooh, preaching to the choir here. Have that same tendency myself to look at that glass as half empty instead of half full. And I have to ask God to forgive me, because God is in charge of everything. And I don't need to fear, because God is here. And it goes on to say, ooh, hallelujah. It is then that we forget the magnificent power of our Almighty God when we become overwhelmed. Are you afraid of something today in some situation gnawing away at you and causing you anxiety? Are you completely lost as to how to proceed? Put your focus back on God. His message to you is clear. The Lord, he is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Your good shepherd has your every need in mind, and he is eminently capable of protecting you from every danger. Therefore, don't take your eyes off him obey him in every step of faith he commands you to take, and don't be afraid. He will guide you through the wilderness, lead you in safety, and be your confidence in every situation. Who do you depend on? Are you depending on your bank account? Are you depending on sister, whoever down the street? Or are you depending on God? And as we go into our continue in our psalm this morning, God is asking us, who are you going to depend on? Are you going to depend on me? Are you going to depend on Boo-Boo and them down the street? Who do you depend on? Get on your knees and take it to the throne. Are you taking it to the phone? Well, let me call this person. Let me call that person. Let me. I had to pray because I'm going on a trip and I needed another driver. And I've had, you know, a couple have said they were going and then all of a sudden they cannot go. And I understand that. You know, you got to take care of yourself. And I was praying about it yesterday morning. And God gave me the name. And I called that person. And they're very much interested in being an extra driver for me. You know, as long as they don't have to drive in the city, which I don't like either, but we will do what we have to do because my mother wants to go on this trip, and I'm going to make sure that I am able to take her if it is God's will. And as we go forth, it says in Proverbs, starting in chapter 20, starting at verse 3, it is honorable for a man to stop striving since any fool can start a quarrel. Come on now. Always, every time you see them coming, you want to run the opposite direction because you know they're going to start the mess. They're going to be messy. They're going to be wanting to talk about everybody, everything, until the point where you just get tired. You get tired of dealing with foolishness. You say, okay, here they come. I'm going in the opposite direction. Not today, Satan. I just can't deal with it. And when you are that person, and you wonder why folks don't want to be around you. As we spoke at the beginning of our lesson today, maybe that death in your tongue is keeping the ones that want life away from you. We got to start speaking the positive. Speak the positives over your family. Speak the positives over your children. Speak the positives over those great and grand. Whatever the situation, be positive. I will live and not die to sin. I will walk uprightly. I will be on time. I will do what I have been asked to do. I will complete assignment. We've got to be willing, ready, and able to complete our assignment. Because whatever God has for you, it is for you and it's for a purpose. And as we continue, it says, in verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Woo, hallelujah. The Lord has given us everything we need. All we have to do is open the book. Most men will proclaim each his own goodness. But who can find a faithful man? The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. And as we go to the life lesson from Proverbs, starting in chapter 20, verse 4, the lazy man will not plow because of winter. He will beg during the harvest and have nothing. Slothfulness, meaning laziness. Person who doesn't bother to get ready won't be prepared for the situations that come along. This is especially true in our spiritual life. We must spend time with the Lord daily, or when troubles come along, we won't be prepared for them and will react badly. However, if we're consistent about our time with God, we'll react in a godly manner to all our circumstances, no matter what they are. We got to stop and take a minute. Instead, we want to run to everything, But God, and I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to me. I've had my moments. And you look back and you say, why did I do that? Lord, why did I just not just trust in you to help me get through? Instead, I did this, that, and the other, and made the situation worse. Hand up. Have done things, made situations worse in my life because I did not trust God. And all you can do is say, okay, God, I'm giving this to you. And when I did that, I watched God bring a miracle in my life. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I've heard that about others, but it's never happened to me. And I could do more than thank God and praise him and shout. I shouted like I was in a church because I couldn't believe the blessings of God. And I know this is just the beginning. God's blessings are coming. I believe in the overflow because God knows that I will share. God knows I will give my last and half. God knows my heart. And we have to have our heart humble and open and ready. Proverbs 27, the righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. It would be hard to think of a greater legacy to leave behind than a person's record of godly integrity. Those who develop sound moral character bless their children with a gift that lasts for generations. And as I looked at that word, I thought about a funeral I went to on yesterday. A mother of nine passed away in her sleep. She wouldn't sit in her easy chair, put her feet up, took a nap, and didn't wake up. But she was a woman that loved the Lord, loved her children, nine children, all living, none ever having been incarcerated, all with good jobs, all with wonderful children, all who loved their mother, grandmother, great-grandmother. She left a legacy. She left a legacy of love. She left a legacy of family. And that is what we want to do. Have a legacy left of love. And when you looked around the church, there was not an open seat. They had to put overflow in the choir singing farewell to this woman of God. What a better legacy than your children to look around. Come on now. To look around and see a sea of people there to tell your loved ones farewell. To tell your loved ones how much they meant to them. I met lady over 35 plus years ago in church. I left the church. There were a few people I was still close with, but I didn't get as close with her because I wasn't there long enough. And she wasn't in the midst of the group I was in. But I remembered her beautiful face. I remembered her heart and her smile. And I'm like, I know her from where I started. When I walked in that church, it was as if God was giving me a clean slate. And I thank him for that. I thank Mrs. Smith for that. I thank God that this beautiful woman left a legacy, left a family, who loved her so completely. And the question I ask, will we leave a legacy of family that cherished us, that loved us, that are willing to step out of their box for us? Something to think about. And I have just read Proverbs chapter 20, verses 3 through 7. And let's get into our main word this morning. We are coming out of the book of Acts, the 9. And we'll be reading chapter 9, verses 22 through 43. And all I can say is, it is a great word. And the word that God gave us, the truth I perceive, that God shows no partiality. God does not show partiality. He loves you as much as he loves me. He loves me as much as he loves boo-boo and them down the street. And he loves boo-boo and them down the street as much as he loves Sister Susie. God loves us all, and he will reign on the just and on the just. Because I'm looking as I drive down my driveway and see this big old tree blocking it. And I'm thinking, Lord, how am I going to get to my house? And God looked at, I can feel God looking at me and said, girl, look at that yard. Look at that circle drive you wanted to put in. Drive in that spot. And I would get the truth up. And I called some people, sent lots of money. But someone was able to cut the tree, move part across the drive, and the other part is on the other side. And I'm waiting to see what my insurance will say. That's why I paid a lot of money for it, to see if my tree is covered and how much I got to pay out of pocket. I'm just going to wait on the Lord. For I know that God is a provider and that he will provide all that I need. I'm trusting God. I'm not moving before God says move. I've done it before and I made mistakes. I'm going to trust that God will provide. God will take care of the wood. Hallelujah. I'm believing God that he's got me covered. Why? Because I'm his daughter and he loves me. Hallelujah. We got to know who we belong to. Do you belong to my daddy? Hallelujah. Because my daddy has many, many children. And he loves us all the same. As we go into the book of Acts, we're going to still be talking about Saul. Saul got transformed. Saul got renewed. Hallelujah. The light shone on Saul. In his blackness, in his darkness, in his persecuting stuff, in his death before life, his trying to stomp out the way. But God, hallelujah, but God, God reigns on the just and the unjust. God will use whatever he needs to use and whomever he needs to use. If God can use a rooster to get your attention that you denied the Savior 3 times, God can use a donkey to save your life because you're trying to do some wrong. And that donkey sees the angel ahead that's about to cut you in half and save your life and ask you, why you treat me like this? I would have been shocked when the donkey started talking. But Balaam was like, oh, whoa. Yeah, the donkey talked to you. And then he showed you the angel standing up on the road. And the angel had to tell you, yes, I was about to kill you. We don't know what God can use. But in Saul's case, he used Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I got to be this one. I got to calm down. I got to come back for a minute because I'm going to use this man to preach my word. I'm going to use this persecutor to teach my word. I'm going to use this persecutor to be the salvation of my people, of the Gentile, of the Jew, of the learned and the unlearned. I'm going to use this tent maker to do what I need done. And he blinded him, took his sight away. You can't go killing anybody when you can't see him. Come on now. Unless you're the blind swordsman. Okay, I digress. Somebody's going to catch that and understand what I'm just saying. But as we go, it says, but Saul increased all the more in strength, come on now, and confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that with Jesus, that this Jesus, he is the Christ. Because remember, Paul is a Sadducee. He knows the word of God. Now, after many days were passed, the Jews plotted to kill him, but their plot became known to Saul. And they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down through the wall in a large basket. And when Saul had come to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and did not believe that he was a disciple. They thought he was an infiltrator. They thought he was someone trying to get into their group to destroy him from the inside out. But then God gave us Barnabas, a man who had a heart for God. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. And when we're talking the apostles, we're talking the 12. And not Judas Iscariot, because he killed himself. And as we continue, so he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. So he was with them at Jerusalem, coming and going out. And he spoke boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Hellenists. But they attempted to kill him. When the brethren found out, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him out to Tarsus, which is where he was from. Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Came to pass as Peter went through all parts of the country that he also came down to the saints who dwelt in Lydia. There he found a certain man named Aeneas who had been bedridden 8 years and was there alive. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus the Christ heals you. Arise and make your bed. And he arose immediately. So all who dwelt in Lydia and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. At Joppa there was a certain disciple named Tabitha, which is translated darkened. This woman was full of good works and charitable deeds, which she did. But it happened in those days that she became sick and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in an upper room, and since Lydia was near Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent two men to him, imploring him not to delay in coming to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he had come, they brought him to the upper room, and all the widows stood by him, weeping, showing the tunic and garments which Dorcas had made while she was with them. But Peter put them all out and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she stood up. Then he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented her alive and dead. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord. So it was that he stayed many days in Joppa with Simon a tanner. Hallelujah. Don't tell me what God can't do. Hallelujah. as before we leave chapter 9, I have some life lessons, and then we will be going into chapter 10. And the life lesson from chapter 9 is this. Saul found the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Though Saul had worldly knowledge through his education, I'm sorry, he was a Pharisee. I said he was a Sadducee. So please put that back. He is a Pharisee. It didn't compare to the spiritual wisdom he acquired when Jesus Christ became his Savior. God can use your temporal gifts and aptitudes in an amazing way when they are under the control of his Spirit. And I'm going to say this. There are many theologians. There are many people who are educated in the Word, but have not received the Holy Spirit, have not received a calling from God. They're doing what they consider a job. They're going to go to the Word. They're going to say a few words. They're going to go on about their business, hoping the soul God saved. But they're going to go with what they believe doctrine and theology, but not the theology of salvation. It's all about the book and the paycheck, not about the souls that need deliverance, the souls that need to understand, yes, there is a hell, and only God can put you in it. Yes, there is a heaven, and only God can open the door for you to come in. We've got to speak the truth and get out of the sugar-coated word. The word is not sugar-coated. Some guy in Utah called himself trying to get rid of porn. Oh, I'm going to get rid of it and ban this and ban that. And wound up inadvertently being in the Bible. Because, yeah, there's a lot of stuff in the Word of God that you're like, ooh, I don't think I want my children reading that. That's a little risque. That's a little this, or that's a little that. You know what? Everything is in the Word of God. You better understand it. And that's why we read it. Because God's Word is real. Not sugar-coated. It's not candy. It's real. And it's real life. When you read the Word of God, you see real life. Saul was a persecutor. Saul got humbled to the ground in blindness. And it changed his life. How many people have been alcoholics, drug addicts, addicted to pornography, addicted to nicotine, addicted to this, that, and the other, but had their Damascus moment and had to repent and had to go where they needed to go. Many promiscuous now preachers of God. We got to understand he uses reality in his word because life is real. And God doesn't want us anymore sugarcoating his word. Tell the truth. Read the word. Shame that wicked devil. God is real. And he doesn't play. And we better learn that. When Jesus comes back, he's not coming back lovey-dovey. He's coming back to call. He's coming back to strike down. He's coming back to lift up his people. You're going to either be for him or not. Lukewarm is not accepted. And we better understand what God is telling us today in his word. And it says Barnabas took them and brought them to the apostles. Barnabas, the son of encouragement. He was always encouraging. And it says the name Barnabas means son of encouragement. And wherever we see him in the book of Acts, he's encouraging someone. In this case, he vouched for Saul when everyone else was afraid of him. Walking in fear of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Acts 9:31, I got to read that again. Walking in the fear of the Lord, not of man. Man was killing them. Man was persecuting them. Man was throwing them in jail. Man was marginalizing them. Man was doing everything they could, making laws against them. But the word tells us, walk in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit. They were multiplied. Peace and fear and comfort may seem like unlikely partners, but the peace of Christ combined with the fear of God, combined with the comfort of the Spirit, makes a powerful receipt for growth. God wants to bake us and make us into the person that we should be. Hallelujah. This is a powerful word this morning. Acts chapter 10, starting at verse 1. And it says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms gently to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in the vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for memorial before God. Now send me to Joppa, send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continuously. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. It were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, Peter, rise. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And a voice spoke to him again, the second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. Come on now. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. You know, we want to put ourselves in everything. But it's not about me. It's not about you. We can't talk about this sister or that sister who might have been this, that, or the other. But God has cleansed them. And you can't call them common. You can't treat them like they are nobody. You've got to treat them like a child of God. We get so caught up in the giddiness of going to church that we forget the spiritualness. It was done three times. Come on now. There's Peter. Better get it. Three times. What happened? That rooster crowed three times and convicted him. And now he's getting convicted again. The voice spoke to him again the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate, and they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted it up, saying, stand up, I myself am also a man. And as he talked with them, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent. For what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When you come, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. Hallelujah. That's our title for this morning. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted to him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel preaching peace through Jesus Christ is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and dead. To him all prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. All heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked him to stay a few days. Hallelujah. We got to know who our Father is. And he does not care what you look like. What he's looking for is your heart. Hallelujah. I perceive that God shows no partiality. And I've seen it. God does not show partiality. Again, he reigns on the just and the unjust. I'm grateful that my electricity came on very shortly after the storm. Excuse me. There are many who do not have it to this day. We've got to know who God is. And it said, God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 28 of chapter 10. The Bible nowhere records that God told Peter, don't call any man common or unclean. God showed Peter a vision of unclean animals made clean, and Peter reasoned out the rest. God's instructions never bypasses our minds. In every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Cornelius feared God and performed righteous deeds before he heard a word about the risen Christ. But he still needed to come to faith in Jesus. Those who really seek God will find him. Hallelujah. Acts 40 and 41, God showed him openly, not to all people, but to witnesses chosen before by God. They showed the risen Savior. After his resurrection, Jesus did not appear to Pilate or to Herod or to Ananias or Caiaphas or those who crucified him. He appeared only to those who loved him. The rest will one day appear before him. Hallelujah. God loves you. If you don't know Jesus, today is a good day to be saved. Hallelujah. And I go back to chapter 10, verse 15. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. God was addressing Peter's prejudice against Gentile belief. However, it's a message to us as well. We should never look down upon anyone God has saved, whether it is because of their race, economic status, or any other factor. As Philippians 2 and 3 instructs, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem others better than himself. Hallelujah, to have that in our spirit. We got to know who God is and know that we are loved by him. If there's anyone that has a word this morning, please push the number 1 on your phone. We may go over a few minutes if there is someone that has a word from God. I have a word from my sister in Christ, and it just fits right here in our word for today. Good morning. But if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts, and he knows all things. 1 John 3:20, have an abundantly blessed Sunday. Remember who you belong to. God loves you in your good. He loves you in your bad. He loves you in your ugly. In truth, I perceive that God partiality. I see no one with their hand up this morning. No one has pushed that one to speak. So I say to you this morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we're absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and your family. Have a blessed, wonderful day. Or as my sister in Christ said, have an abundantly blessed Sunday. It is a wrap. Have a great day. Find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And watch God, work in your life. Have a great day, family. It's a wrap.